And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Andrew Iliff and Guy Rowe. In this episode, we're going to be breaking down the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Burton Albion. We have much to get through because both of my co-hosts were at this match, and I'm dying to hear what they have to say about it. So I'm going to bring them both on. First, Mr. Andrew Iliff, how you doing?
Very well, thanks, Russ. How are you?
I am well, my friend. I look forward to doing this show with you.
Absolutely. It's been an interesting match, and I look forward to discussing it.
Absolutely. And Guy, welcome back to the show. You were a ball boy at this match. I told you off air I was concerned because I heard some talk about a ball boy during the match, but thankfully it wasn't you. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. That was my first match of the season as a ball boy. I think I did like 8 last season. Hopefully have some more. But thankfully it wasn't me getting shouted at by any Burton player. But, I was in the corner, and maybe some people, obviously some people, if they're paying enough attention, would have seen me running down the sideline when we scored that last-minute equaliser. looking forward to discussing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Andrew, I'm going to start with you. I just want to get your opening thoughts on this match. I watched it yesterday. Very interesting 1-1 draw. Disappointing. You know, you want to be beating a team like Burton Albion that has been promoted to the championship. But, you know, to their credit, they did what they had to get the point. What's your view of this match, overall view?
I think, at the start of the season, when you look at the fixture list, you immediately think to the home games where you can pick up points. You look at games where you think, okay, well, you know, we'll take a draw. And games like Burton Albion, you're thinking you should really get 3 points. I thought they started exceptionally well. The way they were passing the ball about was brilliant. And I thought some of the passages of play were fantastic, and I thought we were unlucky not to score. I thought it highlighted a few weaknesses that we possibly have in terms of someone that can finish the chances that we've created, because we could have easily scored 3 or 4 yesterday. But I think there's a lot of positives, from the way we started. I think the second half was a complete contrast to the first half, and it was disappointing to go 1-0 behind. Burton came out better than us. We didn't seem to really get going, and before you know it, we find ourselves 1-0 down. You can't really blame, Burton for frustrating us with the way they played. And it's both a relief and disappointing to get a point, if you see what I mean, because they scored so late on that it left very little chance of us cracking on and getting the winner. But it was a strange game. A lot of positives to take out of the game in terms of the way we played, but there's also some areas that we need to improve on. But I think overall, it was a very entertaining game.
Okay, very good. Guy, over to you. Your opening thoughts on what you watched at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, a lot of what Andrew said, I agree with. The first half, our passing and our movement, just making chances, was brilliant. I just think we lacked that finishing touch. But most of the game, the stats will tell you we dominated. I don't know really what to think of it all, but I said to a steward, games like against Birmingham, if we want to be serious contenders for a playoff place, then we should be looking to scrape out points against these teams and then smashing teams like Burton. But that doesn't always happen in football, I guess. A lot of it really just came down to our performance and, once again, being clinical with our chances, which we can talk about. It was really just one of the more forgettable games that I think we're going to see this season. Reminds me of the Huddersfield game last season.
Okay, very good. Guy, I'm going to go right back to you and then go to Andrew, because I have a thought that I want to talk to you guys about. It deals with Nigel Clough and Burton Albion, because I read a quote from him prior to the match talking about that he wasn't going to sit back, that he was going to come to Craven Cottage. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. What's interesting about this is that for the majority of the match, they were sitting back. But the opening stages of both halves, they weren't sitting back. Do you think that their intent? I'll go to you first, Guy. Do you think their intent was to come and play, but Fulham made it difficult for them? Well, the second half, the situation changed, but definitely in the first half, you know, because they get the goal, so they probably changed their tactics. But in the first half, they did come out looking like they wanted to attack, and then everything changed. Do you think that had to do with how Fulham played, or do you think that they were really setting up to sit back?
I like to think our defense was tight in the first half, at least. Obviously, they had a corner in like the first 30 seconds, didn't they? But I like to think our defense was all right for the first half, at least. But I think I could definitely see where you're coming from if you say they're looking to play, they're looking to attack us and whatnot. Because they did come at us with some speed in the opening stages of both halves. I think just when we had our time to play, we used the ball a lot better and maybe forced them to change their game as well. And obviously second half, everything changed from their perspective. You know, they improved a lot. Maybe we didn't perform as well as we did first half, but I can definitely see where you're coming from there.
Okay, very good. Andrew, I want to go to you about this as well, just because I watched the replay, and I just remember the comments from Nigel Clough talking about that he didn't want to come here and sit back. Well, for the majority of the match, that's exactly what happened. I think the second half had more to do with them scoring the goal than they decided that they needed to hunker down. But in the first half, they came out strong for the first several minutes, but then Fulham dictated the play. So I'm just curious, do you think that Nigel Clough changed the way he was playing, the way he was set up, or possibly Fulham forced them to change how they were playing, especially in the first half? I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I think that Burton came with a game plan, and I think they came to attack from the off. You know, you've got to get the ball up the field, stick it in the danger area and see what happens. And I think the fact that they got the corner within, as Guy said, the first 30 seconds was testament to that. They started brightly, but I think, you know, man for man, Fulham are, you know, a better team. And they're at home and they're more comfortable, and Fulham have got a point to prove in front of their own fans, because, you know, the way they've started the season away from home is better than what it is at home. And, you know, when you've got 17,000-18,000 Fulham fans wanting the goal, wanting to see the team play well, you know, it forces them to pass and attack, which is what they're good at. So I think, you know, as much as Burton wanted to attack, I think we forced them pretty much and pegged them back into their own half for most of the first half. And I think it was a case of, you know, recognising the strengths of what Fulham have in terms of keeping the ball. You know, it's a long game and it was absolutely roasting hot that day. And it's okay running around for 90 minutes saying these are professionals, but it was a very, very hot day. And you know, chasing the ball around in Fulham's half would have certainly tired them out quicker. But I think Fulham played to their strengths and effectively forced them into doing what they did. But don't get me wrong, I think throughout the season you will see teams coming to Craven Cottage setting up and going for the draw just because of how we play. And I think that's you know, a compliment to what Lloris has done and how teams now perceive us, compared to how it was last season, where it was a bit of a case of whipping in the box and do it enough times, we'll make a mistake and concede. So I think it's a testament to Fulham the way they started the game and effectively forced them to get pegged back.
I agree with that. That's why I wanted to bring that up, Andrew. You know, like I said, the second half is a different situation. We'll talk about that. I'm going to have Guy explain his thoughts about the second half, and definitely want you to go into more detail about the first half. But that was one of the things that I noticed when I watched the replay, that it seemed to me that their intent was to come and play, but we wouldn't let them come and play in the first half. We just couldn't finish. We couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. We couldn't put ourselves in the situation to really get that goal. We had a few situations, but not enough. Not enough. And I think it comes back to bite us, especially in the second half. You know, when you don't, you know, you can create and do all these nice things with your passing, but you need to finish. And they just didn't. obviously in the second half we get the goal late, but I'm talking about overall. They need to do a better job at that. All right, Andrew, right back to you. For the match, let's start here. Let's talk about the starting 11. What were your thoughts when you saw it?
I think it's, you know, it's nice that you can't essentially pick the team as much nowadays as to what you used to. You know, I'm glad that he started Martin off the back of a, you know, a decent international game for him. You know, it gives him a bit of confidence scoring a goal. And, you know, he's got a new team, a fresh start, you know, after what's been a bit of a difficult start to the season at Derby County for him. And I thought that was the right move to play him. In terms of bringing in Cubano, I think he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, and I think he'll entertain this year. I think he's a good player from what I've seen of him so far. So I think it was, you know, a good change to bring him in. Parker, you know, we all know what Parker brings to the team, and it was nice to see Sigurdsson and Sessegnon start today. I think, you know, we saw flashes at the Burton game as to what a partnership Sessegnon and Cubano can be on the left-hand side.
Good point.
And I think we've got a, I think, you know, two tricky players. I mean, one thing that I noticed, which I was very surprised at, I've seen John Brayford play a few times for Cardiff and also for Derby. And he's a very accomplished defender. And I'm surprised that he started at centre-back when you've got Sessegnon and Cubano on the left-hand side. I'd have played him at the right-back position. But, you know, I don't see any issues with the starting 11. I thought it was a good positive 11. And it was an 11 that I fancied to go on and win the game. And, you know, we're in a position now, you could argue that we've got a fair few of the same players, maybe up top. But I think it's a nice problem to have. And, you know, when you come into Craven Cottage as an opposition team, you're not quite sure who's going to play. Is it going to be Malone on the left? Are they going to put Cubano in on the left? What's going to happen in terms of Aite? He's an accomplished player as well. What's going to happen? You just don't know. And I think that's going to be a positive for us moving forward. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what happens for the rest of the season in terms of the lineup. You know, we've gone from having a team that essentially picked itself after the start to the season that we've had to having to chop and change to find that winning formula again. And I think you'll see a lot of that over the season. You know, as Larissa said, it's a squad game, not a game where you're going to be playing 11 or 12 players. I think he's going to utilise the squad, and I think every player in the squad's got their job to do on their given day. And you can see that with Tunnicliffe. Now, obviously, the partnership of McDonald and Parker are fantastic, but there's going to be days where Tunnicliffe's the right man to play, you know, when you need to get stuck in. And that's a good problem to have, and I think we're very fortunate now that we've got that problem. And the starting 11, I thought I didn't particularly see anything wrong with the starting 11, to be honest. I thought it was good. I think it was right to give Sigurdsson his debut. And it's, you know, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with that.
Okay, and listen, I tend to agree with you. I actually, when I saw the starting 11, I thought that this was a lineup that can win this game. Dare I say, win it handily. It didn't go that way, but I thought it was a strong side. Over to you, Guy. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11? Do you agree with me and Andrew it was a strong side? Would you have changed anything if it was you in charge?
No, I agree with most of it, really. I thought most of it was just standard, you know, who you'd expect. Obviously, Andrew made the point, you can't really choose the team as much as you could. It's not as predictable.
That's a good problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, yeah. I thought that it was nice to see Sigurdsson get his debut. Sessegnon over Malone, I thought that was just to get him some minutes and, you know, give him some experience. Cubano, I like the look of him. I love the way he says he just wants to enjoy himself. I like that attitude. No, I agree with most of the team. I do want to see something different than Parker and McDonald at some point, though. But that's just me at the moment. No, most of the team, I agree. I feel like it's just standard team that we play right now. Martin up front, I was hoping to see something from him. I don't really think he was on it today, or the other day. But you know, hopefully he can still impress us with the rest of the games of the season.
Okay, very good. And, Guy, I'm going to go right back to just talking a little bit about Chris Martin, because I was talking to Mike Gregg offline about this about an hour ago. We're talking about Chris Martin, and I think Chris Martin, it's going to be a situation where he's still new to Fulham and new to how his teammates play and teammates getting used to how he plays. But did you see anything during this match, just in general, that gave you hope that you'll see the type of player that he is that scored all those goals with Derby County? Did you see a glimpse, maybe?
Well, from watching the highlights, I saw glimpses. But actually, on the pitch, I know, because I'm focusing on the ball, really. In the highlights, I saw, you know, his runs and I saw his movement. I think, I remember Gentleman Jim saying, like, he went for a diving header and the ball was behind him or something. I remember when he came on against Birmingham, he was getting his head on the knockdowns and whatnot. And that fills me with a bit of hope, hoping that one of these players would get on the end of him. I agree with the with what you said about him just adjusting. And we had it with Ross McCormack even then. You know, he always seemed to start
slow. It took him a while to get going, Guy. People forget that. It took him a while.
Yeah, no. Obviously, we can't judge him on two games, especially when one of them he came off the bench. We can't judge him this early. And I'm just going to support him all I can and hope he impresses.
Listen, I'm there with you. It's funny because I saw several tweets weeks ago about Moussa Dembele from Celtic supporters complaining that he hadn't scored a goal. And then in the Old Firm derby, he scores a hat-trick, okay? So
and misses a penalty against Barcelona.
right. It took him a little while to get going. It takes players to get used to their teammates, get used to the system that they're playing. And I have faith that we're going to see a good amount out of Chris Martin. I do. Over to you, Andrew. Let's now talk about your first half observations. Before I get them, I'm just going to share just a couple of things I jotted down, and then you could just share what you saw through your eyes. You had the early chance. I think it was about 4 minutes in from Sonny Aluko. Boy, if he scores there, it's a different match, I think. And then 15 minutes in, Ryan Session's cross was inches away from Chris Martin. We're just talking about Chris Martin, just inches away. And then later on in the 24th minute, Session had his own chances. His shot was saved by the goalkeeper. That was a decent opportunity. But those were the three opportunities for Fulham in the first half that I saw, my friend. So now, through your eyes, what did you see in the first half?
A lot of positive play. They kept the ball well. Some intricate passing, and the way Kearney and Parker pinged the ball across the park was just lovely to see. And I thought they did extremely well with that. I thought, you know, Luko did very well to get his shot off, given the angle that he was at on goal. If he just nudged it a little bit further to the right, you know, may have had a better chance of going in because it was pretty much at the keeper. But I thought Luko did well to send a bit of a warning off to start with. But I think if you've got a true out-and-out striker in what you had with a McCormack-type player, then I think you've got a better chance of scoring. And as you said, it completely changes the complexion of the game. But I thought Aluko was lively in the first half. He's, you know, full of tricks, full of runs, and he was very direct with the way he played. I think looking at Sessegnon, I know we've spoke about this before, but you know, I think I think Burton Albion was a fantastic game from him. I know we've discussed it many times, from a 16-year-old boy. It was a very mature performance. And we've got a bit of a headache at left-back as to who we play. And I think Slavisa is trying to find his preferred left-back. I thought he was tricky on the left-hand side. He linked up well with Cabano. There's a lot of overlapping play. And as we've seen, you know, he can put the ball in the box. We'll come to the goal later on, but he's a very accomplished passer. He looks calm. He looks controlled. And he's got that innocence of youth about him, where nothing really phases him. He just enjoys the game and gets on with it, and it's refreshing to see. I thought the cross that he put in for Martin was sublime, and I don't think you can. For me personally, you can't really say that Martin should have got closer. I think it was just one of those things where you just a few inches away, and that was that. But it's just a couple of things I want to say on Martin, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
On what I think he can add to the Fulham team. I think with the type of player that Martin is, he'll bring in those around him, in my opinion, into the game a little bit more. So you've got the likes of Kearney, as we all know, is a fantastic player and a very skillful player. Aite, Cabano, and also Aluko, very quick, tricky players around him. In and around the box, I think Martin will hold the ball up on other days, a little bit more and better than he will do, and bring those into the game as the weeks go on and the games come. And I think the link-up play that you'll see from these 3 to 4 players, depending on who starts, will yield goals. I think it was a bit of an interesting start from Martin, but I think he's going to score for Fulham, and I think he's proven in the Championship and he'll do well. But in terms of moving forward, with Sessegnon Yacoubano on the left, I thought they played very well, and Sessegnon was unlucky not to score in the first half.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things, I'm glad he scored. And for a left back to have scored 2 goals, considering he's not played every game at this start, this stage of the season, is fantastic. If somebody said to any Fulham fan at the start of the season, your left back's going to be in and amongst the goals, you'd have been absolutely delighted. And I think everyone should be for the progress that he's made, and long may that continue. It was just a shame in the first half that we just couldn't find that goal, that cutting edge. It changes the game going into the dressing room at 0-0. It gives the opposition belief that they can come out and effectively do what they did, given the way that they started the game. But it also, puts pressure on Fulham as well. They had all the possession. They had, a lot of nice passing. They had a few attempts on goal, but they just couldn't find that clinical that clinical shot, that goal that we were all hoping to see. It was a shame. But I think on any other day, that we'd have got the rub of the green in front of goal. You can debate all day whether you think it's unlucky or whether we're missing that clinical striker. But I think, on other days, Sessegnon may have tucked it away. Martin would have been a few inches closer. And Aluko would have tucked it a little bit to the right, and before you know it, you're 1-2-3-0 up. And it's just a completely different conversation to be having. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, it just wouldn't drop for them in the first half. But if they play like that for the rest of the season, and also take that performance through to the second half, as opposed to just doing it in the first half, I think the future's bright. But they've got to do it for 90 minutes, not just one half.
Absolutely. And after I go to Guy with his observations of the second half, I'm going to read some quotes from Savisa and get your thoughts on it, because Andrew Savisa agrees with you about not being critical enough, and I'll read the quotes and we can talk about that near the end of the show. But because I think the word clinical basically describes what happened. Not clinical enough, I should say. Just not clinical. They weren't clinical. And that, to me, was the difference in the game. They have opportunities, but they need to bury them. You got to give a little credit, obviously, to the goalkeeper. But when you get your opportunities, you got to score. All right, over to you, Guy. Time for your second half observations. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw in the second half. I'll just share real quickly, like I mentioned in the first half, just like in the first half, in the second half, Burton Albion came out strong in the opening stages, and I was listening to it, and then when I watched it, I just had this bad feeling. When I was listening to it, I actually had a bad feeling that something was going to happen. It did happen, and that was in the 51st minute, Jackson Irvin scores, and that gives them the lead early in the second half, 1-0, and honestly, after that, they tend to really hunker down and make it very difficult for Fulham to get the equalizer. But they do get the equalizer in the second minute of stoppage time. It actually started with a shot by Aluko, but it's spilled by the goalkeeper, and thankfully, Ryan Sessegnon was right there to clean it up and put it in the back of the net and able to give Fulham that 1 point. But, boy, this match still was an opportunity, major opportunity for 3 points. But, Guy, I just want to get your observations of what you saw in the second half.
Yeah, a lot of what you said again, you know, Burton came out attacking us and eventually they got their goal, at least from my view, at the corner of the Johnny Haynes stand in Hammersmith end. I did not see it coming. I can't comment on whether or not I think Burton should have got to it, but I just didn't see it coming based off of what I saw. Although you can see on the highlights, you know, watching it all in real time and not just focusing on the ball. Yeah, they were attacking us and maybe they deserved it a bit. I think we definitely picked up the pace after we conceded. Maybe it just woke us up a bit more. I think the passes that we made were pretty much similar to the ones we did in the first half, and the runs we made with Aluko on the wing and Kenny in the middle were definitely looking dangerous. Obviously, we got crosses in here and there. Sessegnon, his delivery is brilliant. Overlapping runs look promising. You know, again, it's just lacking that finishing touch. But it finally came. And if you saw it on Facebook, I went mental running down the sidelines. Like, I think you can see my feet in the Sky highlights. And I don't know who filmed it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, or on that live stream. I don't know who filmed it, who was sitting in Johnny Haynes' stand. But you see me get up and start running at, like, in the first 10 seconds. You know, I just lost my mind. But, you know, that's the least we deserved out of that game, a point. I just feel like it was a missed opportunity if we just had those finishing touches. And I'm not sure if you've seen the link I've sent in our little chat, but
yes.
Yeah, Slavisa clearly thinks so himself as well. He's even used the word clinical in the headline, but definitely, well, at least in my opinion, 2 points dropped.
Yeah, listen, I tend to agree with you. Not tend to agree, I do agree with you, Guy, and Slavisa, like I said, agrees with Andrew and agrees with you. Definitely. Just they weren't clinical, and I'm gonna read some quotes. I want to get thoughts from both of you on Savisa's quotes. And again, I was going to, if we have more time, I was also going to share quotes from Nigel Clough, but we're just going to stick with the quotes from Savisa from the reaction after the match that you could actually read on the Fulham website, the manager reaction. And I'm going to start with you, Andrew. This is what Savisa had to say after the match. Quote, "I'm always disappointed when we don't win the game," he said afterwards, talking about Slavisa. "We made many positive things today during the game. We had the game under control and made some chances, but we weren't clinical. Some players have been with us 2 months, some a few weeks. We need time. I understand that perfectly, that in football, time doesn't exist. But this is our realistic situation. It's a new team. I'm proud of things that my team did today. We wanted to play. They didn't want to so much." So let's start with those quotes. So he's talking about Fulham not being clinical like we've talked about, Andrew. But what's interesting, he's also talking a little bit about Burton, that they didn't want to play. So what are your thoughts about what Savisa had to share after the match?
I think he's right in terms of you know, the way they controlled the game. It's and you know, he's certainly spot on with the fact that it's a new team. It takes time to gel, and I refer back to Martin being in the team. I think he'll open the team up in terms of bringing others into the match, much like Smith has done before. But I also think he'll score as well, and it does take time. You know, Johansson didn't have the best of games the other day, but he's obviously signed him for a reason. He's a good player, and he will come good for Fulham, and I hope he does. I think with Burton, I think maybe for me what Slavisa was talking about there was predominantly in the second half, and it was one of the most frustrating things to see from an away team with the way they kind of conducted themselves. I think it was something along the lines of about the 75th minute they ran to the corner, It's like you can't really be doing that at that point in the game. Maybe the last couple of minutes, but not around that time. And then obviously the keeper was taking far too long with his goal kicks, with any distribution of play.
Oh, that was terrible, by the way. That was terrible.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously Burton I don't think they would have come to Craven Cottage and expect to be up after, you know, 90 minutes 1-0 or even after 49, 50 minutes 1-0. I don't think that they would have thought that would have been possible. And you can't really blame them for the way they've played with the gamesmanship, but it wasn't good to see. And I think it was reflected. I think it reflected badly on them. But I do think, you know, Fulham are still in the early stages in terms of gelling. They've had a lot of time over the international break to work on things with those that have remained at Motspur Park. And I think they'll be okay in the future. It's just a case of, you know, on any other day, I think we'd have won that game. If you'd have played that game 10 times, I think Fulham would have easily won 8, hands down. It's just one of those days where you don't get the rubber of the green in front of goal. Martin was inches away. Sessegnon should have scored. Yep. There are a few things that stuck out for me in terms of Aluko and Kearney. They had a couple of opportunities where they're in front of goal. They'd effectively skin the defender and then they try and skin them again. And you think to yourself, just shoot. Just have a go on goal. You don't have to skin them again. And I think maybe that's what Slavice is referring to. But, you know, they'll look at the videos again. They'll try it on the training ground. And over the course of the season, I think they'll score more than they'll miss, I hope.
You know what's funny about what you just shared, Andrew? And, Guy, I'm going to go to you in 1 second. I was talking to Mike Gregg, like I said, offline. And he was talking about one of the issues that Fulham had in this match. You just described it, decision-making. By Kearney and Aluko are two examples. If they make a different decision, maybe things are a little bit different. And you gave those examples. So part of the learning process is going to involve better decision making and learning how to play together. That's all going to come in time. But we have to be honest. We have to look at this match as one match, and it just wasn't good enough. Like you said, maybe 8 or 9 out of 10 times, you know, things go our way. But in this single match, it wasn't good enough. They weren't clinical, and they need to be. These are the matches that they need to win. They need to be beating the Burton Albions. And I'm disappointed, but I also see the other side that you're talking about, Andrew, because I think over time they're going to gel together. The chemistry will start to come together, and these situations that were frustrated and hopefully will be going away. But for this match just wasn't good enough. Guy, I want to go to you because again, Savica had some comments about the second half. I want to get your thoughts on this. This is from the manager reaction. Quote, at the start of the second half, they scored a goal which made things more complicated for us, Jokanović stated. We definitely didn't find a clear way to open the situation. We had to attack again against the 10 players who were defending. In home games, we have to attack and try and resolve these kind of games when the opposition has so many players in defense. Okay, Guy, I want to go to you because I think this is something that that Slavica and the players gotta figure out. When they're in this situation again, they have to figure out how they can break down a team that has 10 men behind the ball and find a way through. Would you agree?
Yeah. When a team comes and parks the bus, you've just got to find a way to break through it. You know, I definitely think a lot of it was based around our passing. Because at least in a lot of what I've seen, they've been going back inside and, you know, just passing it around. I don't think it was entirely the case on the other night, but a lot of the decision was just like, what are you doing? You know, I agree. I think we just need to keep pegging at it. And to agree with what Andrew said, you know, most, like, 8 out of 10 games, we'd be putting these chances in the back of the net. We'd be 2-3-0 up by the first half. You know, all of that stuff. It's just another day in football, I'm afraid, really. You know, you're going to get these games in a season. You're going to get these games where you don't get your other degree, and you're going to get these games where you get screwed over and lose, you know. It's just one of those days, you move on, you take it as it is, and hopefully we can improve at Wigan.
Okay, very good. I want to go back to both of you, and then we're quickly going to do the stats. Andrew, I said this in the pre-match show, as we were getting ready for this match, and I've said this several times. I wanted to see what Fulham would do when they lost a match, a difficult match like the Birmingham City match would be. What would the reaction be? I want to see if they would have a positive reaction, if they would come out and have a reaction. We could learn something from it. Let me ask you, I know the result is not what we wanted. Did we get a positive reaction from this team, from a bad loss against Birmingham City? Did we see a reaction? Did we see something that gives you hope for the future, or do you see this as not good enough? I'm curious where you fall on the reaction that I was looking for all 3 points, but I also wanted to see how they would react from a loss. Do you think that they reacted positively from this loss?
I do. We're not talking, about Fulham being particularly, bad in terms of the way they played. It's just the last, the final third where they were lacking. They didn't look like a team that had just been beaten. They didn't look like a team that was short of confidence. I think what we're starting to see with Fulham is a team that's gaining an identity. They know what they're good at in terms of passing the ball. They're able to control the game a little bit more. It's just, once again, in the final third, I don't have any major issues in terms of the way they came out, in terms of the belief that they could go out and get 3 points. It's just the manner they go about it in terms of scoring at the end. Now, that brings up a whole different, conversation in terms of, the striker. Have we signed the right striker in Martin, or do we need someone that's a little bit pacey in terms of giving Woodrow a game? That's a whole different conversation. But sure, Everything that I saw from the team, certainly in the first half and the second half, showed a team that was ready to bounce back. They just didn't go about it the right way. I think what Stavis has got to do with them, to be perfectly honest with you, Russ, is to work on their concentration levels, because they came out in the second half and I don't think they were quite with it. One thing that stood out for me in the game was Fulham's closing down. Now, what I mean by that is that they seem to be close to the Burton players, quite a lot of the game. Obviously not when it mattered after the first half, early second half, when they scored. But there were a number of occasions where Fulham were in Burton's faces. They were tracking the ball down, getting the tackles in and winning the ball back. And I think that shows the sign of a team that's come out to get all 3 points, the sign of a team that's got a good identity. And I think it also shows a team that's got ambition and the will to win. I know we've said it earlier, but it's just the way they go about it in the final third, and they need to work on that more so than anything else, because I think they're able to knock the ball about quite nicely. I don't think that's an issue. I think they showed the right signs, but
okay,
could have gone about it better in the final third.
Very good, very good. And Guy, I'm going to go to you. Just for time's sake, I'm going to go to you for the final stats, because I think that they back up kind of what Andrew was saying about a reaction. I think there was a positive reaction. Unfortunately, it didn't give us all 3 points, but I think we did see a reaction from the loss. And I think the stats are going to show that. I want to see if you agree with me. Possession, 71% to 29% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 20-7 in favor of Fulham. On target, 6-3 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 9-3 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 32-14 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, Fulham had 12, Burton had 23. Attempted passes, 646 to 270. Attacking passes, 311 to 92. Passing accuracy, 89% to 68% in favor of Fulham. Accurate passes, 579 to 186. Aerial duels, 20-18. Okay, Guy, what do you make of the stats? And does this show that even though we only got a draw here, that there was a reaction?
Yeah.
Positive reaction.
Yeah, based on what I saw, it was a positive reaction. I just want us to be more consistent with our relentlessness, in a way. We're running at teams, we're attacking them, we're getting in their faces. I just want that for the whole 90 minutes. And you know, maybe we put some of these chances in. Maybe, you know, we score some goals. Definitely think the stats should show our dominance. I think I'm pretty sure, at least in Burton's possession, I wouldn't be surprised if most of it was just the goalie wasting time. But I don't even know. You know, if we can keep possession and if we can do the right things with it, we can definitely create chances and score goals with that possession. The 70% possession should be more than enough to get more than one goal.
No, I hear you, guy. And listen, my point in all this, because I'm being honest here, because I was thinking about this because someone actually messaged me and said, listen, you wanted to see a reaction. And, you know, I guess part of me wanted a reaction that was about 3 points. Well, I also wanted to see them take a negative and turn it into a positive. And in a way, they did, but they just didn't execute in the end. And it comes down to execution, being clinical. They just weren't, you know, they did so many things well, but in the end, you need to score the goals. And they did not score enough goals to win this game. They didn't deserve all 3 points in the end. So that's disappointing. But did they react to the loss? I think they did. Now they have an opportunity with Wigan. Can they take this and push it forward to the 3 points? That's what it's about now. Guys, we have to wrap up the show, so I'm going to go to you first, Guy. Any final thoughts?
Keep the faith. Keep the faith. This is all going to turn out well, I'm pretty sure. You know, when the team has time to gel, when everything's sorted out, they'll come good. I'm really confident in that.
Okay, very good. Andrew, final thoughts before we go?
I think overall, you know, it's disappointing that we didn't get 3 points. I thought the way they played, the way they passed the ball around, you know, is positive. It's only going to help for the future. But I'd like to see them, I know we spoke about it earlier, I'd like to see them work on the decision-making, on the finishing. And I think at some point over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, I think Fulham have got it in them to absolutely batter someone 3 or 4 nil. It's only going to be a matter of time until, you know, the chances are converted and it gives them a real boost moving forward. I'd like to see them go on a run of staying unbeaten, you know, and not losing for the next, well, 3 or 4 games to show that they've, you know, reacted from the loss. It's not always the first game after a loss that matters. It's how you continue with that. But I'd like to see, as guys said, more consistency over the 90 minutes as opposed to playing well for a period of the game and then possibly not concentrating for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes here and there when it should be for the whole match. But I think overall, I think we'll be okay.
Okay. And my final thoughts, continue this thought about a reaction and a response. So you can say, you know, I was talking about a reaction, but the response was how they came out and played, and they did get a point. We all wanted the 3 points, but again, they did not lose. So in a way, there was a response. It wasn't the response that I wanted, which is all 3 points. But now it's taken this opportunity and take it to Wigan. Now it's time to get all 3 points. We have upcoming matches that they need to take advantage of. Guys, great show. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. But it is time to wrap up this show. For Andrew and Guy, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Connors Talk. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Russ.
Thank you.
Cheers, Andrew.
Have a nice night.
Night.
Come out.